What's up, friends? Welcome back to the Dark Waters. I'm your host, Josh. It's Wednesday night. Just got done recording. I know it's been a while, and I know you guys have been hungry, and you've been waiting for me to come out with a new episode. And I'm not sorry I kept you waiting. I was busy. I had tournaments this past Saturday at Candlewood with the KBF Trail Series. So much to talk about. My next two episodes are probably going to be about this goddamn tournament. All I can say is that day one was a nightmare, and day two was just a little better. I think I completely skunked day one, and then day two, I was top 20. So I'm hot or I'm cold, right? But I don't know. It was still a good event, man. I was so happy to see everyone. Saw some old friends and met some new ones. But, dude, it was a great event. Chad Hoover, Jason Gardner, and a whole bunch of other people. It was a tough thing to plan for. Connecticut's a weird state, man. But they fought for the anglers, and they ended up being a great event. So thank you to everyone involved. But once again, all the anglers that were there, man, it was so great to see you guys at the launches. Shake hands, give hugs, drink beers. I mean, I had a great time. Wish my fishing was as good as my beer drinking this past weekend, but whatever. But anyways, I'm looking forward to the next one. I think my next big event is the Hobie BOS at Lake Champlain. And I think it's all I'm really for right now. I'm gonna take it slow. See where I want to be this summer. I can't believe like summer's already here, man. Jesus Christ. But anyways, let me know what you guys did this past weekend. Tag me some pictures. Send me some messages. I know some people. I know it's a little early, but I already know some people are traveling to Texas to get their pre-fishing in for Rayburn and Possum Kingdom. Everything else going on down there. Good luck, safe travels, and let me know how it goes. I know we still got like, not this weekend, but the next weekend when it all kicks off, but, I love to hear from people. But see, other than that, not much, guys. Went fishing today. We're in that brutal, I think, post pond or spawn and post spawn. Like, they're so hard to find. You can't find them on beds right now either. So been struggling, but caught a few today. Got a big tournament, or got a small tournament this weekend, with Slay Nation on Onondaga Lake. So I'm hoping that they, get their shit together and get hungry. So we can go out there, put some big limits, but, we'll see. I'll keep you guys updated because I know you guys care so much, but, anyways, let's thank some of my sponsors real quick. Styx Fishing, those rods, got put to the test. Amazing quality. Six rods to cover all lures and techniques. Makes fishing easier. If you're like me, you don't want to think too much about this shit, and you're tired of watching thousands and thousands of videos of people telling you need this and you need that. I buy into what Styx says. I don't know if it's the right answer, but it works for me. These rods are amazing. I can't say enough about them. They got a 90-day buy them, try them, which means if you don't like them, you can send that shit back. They got great customer service. They know that us kayak anglers were brutal on our equipment. You break it, no questions asked. $50 to replace it. Unless it's not your fault, then obviously it'll be covered by warranty or something like that. But, dude, check them out, man. Like I said, six rods, complete set. You don't need anything else. So, X-Zone Lures. Discount code Dark Waters. X-Zone Lures, great plastics, second year on that team. Their deception worm was money this week. Their Ned rigs were money this week. Just a good bait, man. Great color schemes. Can't say enough about them. Capital D, Capital W, 15, get yourself a discount on those. Rogue Fishing Company. Dude, I haven't lost any of my shit this year, and it's because I've been using their gear. Don't lose your shit. Get some gear-saving shit. Use discount code DARKWATERS. I can officially say I am now powered by Dacodia Lithium. I just got my batteries today. I got the power box. Dude, this thing is sick. Charge phones, batteries. It's got a flashlight on it. Dude, it's badass. And then Stormy hooked me up. So make sure you go check out Dacodia Lithium. I'm proud of you, part of the team. A lot of us on that team. But, dude, good shit. We'll be doing some giveaways here pretty soon. No discount code or anything like that right now, but I know we'll be doing a lot of giveaways. So stay tuned for that. But that's it, guys. little different. Like, this is episode 175. I know you guys are gonna be like, well, what happened to episode 174? Well, I did an episode with Christine Fisher last night, but she was on the road, and it was rough. She kept going in and out. I just don't think the software is good with people being on the road like that because she was driving. But I'll try to edit it. If not, then we'll just scratch it and maybe get her on in the future. It was a great conversation, too. I hope I can get it going. Had a really good conversation with her. But whatever. Tonight's guest is Ryan Nye. I believe that's it. Right? I mean, his last name only got three letters, so pretty sure I got it right. But cool dude. Met him at the boat launch. Day one, he came in first place. Just crushed it. It was cool, man. Like, I was meeting him, helping him load his kayak. He's helping me load mine up. And, like, I had no idea that he was in first place. You couldn't tell. But dude put up some great limit. I think 97 inches, all smallmouth, smallmouth on bed, just big, gigantic smallmouth on beds this weekend. Just awesome. Awesome experience. Candlewood's a tough lake, man. It challenged me. I definitely learned a lot. Obviously, there's big fish on there. But it was tough, man. And in this episode, we kind of shared our experiences. I think everyone will agree. It's a highly pressured lake. It's tough. But if you figure it out, I mean, it's magical. I didn't really figure it out until day two when I finally put up a limit. I top 20 finish day two, but skunk day one. Like, that's just my luck. But anyways, I'm done rambling, guys. Ryan and I, it's great to have him on the show for the first time. Enjoyed the conversation. Yeah, that's it, guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all the support. It was so cool seeing everyone this past weekend. I can't wait to see you guys again. Definitely going to be traveling to more tournaments here this summer, and I'm just looking forward to it, man. I love this sport. I love you people. It's just awesome. So I'm done. Have a great night. Enjoy the episode. I'll talk to you guys again soon. Ciao. What's up, Ryan? Thanks for coming to the show.
Yeah, not too much, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. I feel like I just saw you, right?
Yeah. A couple times the boat ramp over the week there, but.
Yeah, I had no idea you were the guy that won that that giveaway that I did with Woo.
That's why I'm wearing it. I figured go full circle with it.
Yeah, that was a pretty good giveaway. Was like 78 pieces or some shit like that?
Yeah, it was a lot of stuff, so.
Well, cool, man. I'm not going to bug you too much as far as about your introduction, because I know you've been on like two or three podcasts. Whenever you guys win, everybody wants to talk to you. So I'll make this as painless as possible. Just a quick intro, just in case some of these nerds didn't listen to the other podcasts.
I am from Connecticut. I've been fishing kayak competitively for 3 years, started in 2018, a sit-in kayak, and upgraded to an Old Town Predator PDL. 2 years ago, fish out of that now, and I fish with Eddie Bassin. I'm a co-director for the team trail here in Connecticut. I fish with Slay Nation. I fish KBF. I'll try to fish as much as I can, and yeah, that's it.
So you know Frankie?
I've never met Frankie, but okay. I do know of him, and I have talked to him a couple times on Facebook. But
oh, cool. All right, dude, you and a Predator. That's like my boat, but 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, my boat it's been around. It's been around the block.
Yeah, it was Tibbins' old boat, right?
Yep, Jack Tibbins' old boat. He had it for 2 years, I think, and then he sold it to me. And, yeah, actually, I got it. We fished a team tournament. I was in the sit-in. He was like, dude, I want to bring the Predator, and you can use that for the day. And I've never gotten back in my sit-in. I was like, dude, just sell this to me, please. Because he had two at the time. So
yeah, so I was in a Jackson Coosa the last few seasons, and I got my Big Water, the PDL, which is, I guess, the same thing as the Predator. Just they rebranded it to the Sportsman Big Water. But dude, like, I have been so happy since I've gotten that boat. Dude, it's so fast, so stable. The storage compartments are the best. I mean, it's just a great boat. I mean, great model, great design. I love it.
Yeah, I haven't found an issue with it. The only thing that's been messed up on mine is the seat. because I tow it around and leave the seat on it. So like wind blown and the seat like had a pocket on it that ripped and whatever. So I had to get a new seat. But dude, that thing, it's solid, man. It just keeps going.
Yeah, dude. I got no complaints. So, you know, you're a tournament fisher now. How long have you been like doing these national tournaments? I know when you won the giveaway, I think you got them just in time before you went down to Florida, I believe. If my memory is correct, but I mean that's a big drive from Connecticut. So how long have you been serious about like the competitive part of kayak fishing?
Competitive, like locally, I started in 2018. The KBF national stuff I did last year was my rookie year, so it was more like a regional though. Like it was more regional than it is now. But and then this year we've been jumping around all over the place. But so only 2 years.
Yeah. You know, I bet, like, I've only met Tibbins once, and I've talked to him before, but, like, everything about him just says he knows how to fish. How cool is it to have someone like that in your back pocket, like, you know, going out there and fishing these tournaments with and living close to? I mean, the dude's a hell of a stick.
Yeah, no, he's definitely, especially around here, man, like, there's a lot of guys that are really good, and he's just one of them, but he does a lot of different stuff that people don't think of, and People throw things and look at him like that dude will use straight braid and 40 that you and you can see 40 feet, dude. It doesn't matter. Like he just does stuff that's different. And he still gets them. I don't know. Dude, it's awesome. But.
Dude, it was weird because I was on Candle Lake with him and I was coming from like the north end or something. And I saw him right kind of like that middle area where you can. Before you turn to go up Squats Bay or whatever or Cove, and like he's just throwing. He's just so methodical about it. I don't know. Just watching him fish in his pajamas, I'm like. This dude's crazy, and he's throwing these small finesse things on bait cat. I mean, whatever. He just had like a weird like arsenal of stuff like compared to like what everyone else throws. I didn't see a Ned rig, I didn't see a chatterbait, I didn't see any big fancy shit. It was just very like I don't know. I can only describe it as like Tibbins' arsenal.
Yeah, dude, that's what it is, man. I don't know. Dude. He pours his own jig heads and he uses them on everything. They work for everything he wants to do. And like, if he won't put a hook in it, and then he'll use it as a Nico weight. Like, he'll just like come up with all his own stuff, and it works for him. And yeah, having someone like that I'm his team partner here in Connecticut and for the team tournaments and whatever. And I travel with him, and so we fish all the time together. But we do stuff a lot different. Like you said, that dude will not throw a chatterbait. He won't throw a spinnerbait. Like,
dude, he refuses. Like, I had him on my podcast. Like, he just refuses. To go with the times, like the trends, the like he doesn't follow the industry. Like he does exactly what the hell he wants to do. I mean, it's cool, man. I respect it a lot.
No, it is cool, dude. Like everyone's like on the Mega Bash jerkbait kick. He will not go buy one. He will never go buy one. No, man. But he gets them, so it don't matter. Like he gets them.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. Obviously, congratulations. Day one, but I think day one you did. You want your first place, right? Then did you get big bass? You got big bass as well, right?
I got the third biggest bass.
Oh, okay. All right.
But still, I didn't get the biggest, but
it's still an incredible, incredible performance. I mean, like this is my, like we'll talk more about like Candlelight, but like my experience on there was like there's just some like shit. You gotta put your grown up pants on because that lake was, It tested me. It challenged me. It rode me hard. Put me away wet. I finally understood what they meant by like it's a big washing machine. When you see the way those boats go, and you see the way the water just moves in this big circle, just throwing you around. Like I mean, it's a beast of a lake, man. It really is.
Yeah, along those waves too. They hit the bed, like they'll hit the wall next to you, and then they'll come back the other way. It gets brutal out there. But yeah, no that. I don't know, dude. That's just one of those lakes that was my first time there. I pre-fished Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, but prior to that, I'd never been there. I don't know guys that go there. Like, I know Tibbins has fished it a couple times in a big boat with the guy that owns Any Bassin, but besides that, I don't know. Like, I'd never been there, and it was just, figuring it out and figuring out the fish and trying to get something going, but I don't know. It was a fun lake for me.
Yeah, no, like I mean, like when I first got there on the Thursday, I got in the water and I was paddling outside, trying to get out of that cove, and I was behind with that Judy Richardson, and like immediately, like she pulls like a 19 inch out of the off from underneath the dock. I'm like, this is gonna be fun. And then I get up in a cove and I start catching fish and I start seeing them on beds. I'm like, okay, this isn't bad. I can make this work. And then Friday. had a pretty good day, but it got a little tougher. And you know, I was noticing like how things were changing dramatically. Like all the fish I found were on beds were gone. Everything I marked was gone. So I had to go find new fish on beds, and I found them. But like every day that I was on that lake, it changed. And so whatever plan you had throughout like the pre-fishing, day one, day two of the tournament, like nothing was ever the same. Like every day I got on that lake, I had to like refigure shit out. It was weird. I've never had like, I mean, like I just, you could, for me, I couldn't count on anything, nothing.
Yeah, no, same for me, dude. Like, and that after Saturday going into Sunday, I was like, there's no way I'm doing good. Like, I think I caught all the fish that I knew were there, and Big Boat saw me catch that 22.5 that I caught. Dude, there was a line of Big Boats behind me getting ready to take off. Like, yeah. I know one of them took off and caught that fish. Like, they just weren't going to be there. And yeah, Thursday I marked a ton of fish. Friday it was like half. And I was like, okay, maybe they're all going. And it was tough to read and tough to figure out. And I really thought you were going to need to find something else. Like, you were going to need to find like that point that was loaded, or that place that they were coming and going from or whatever. But I never found anything like that. And they just,
Why I thought I figured out, because I went on Saturday cocky. I thought I had, because, you know, I had a good limit on Friday. It wasn't because I lost all my fish in the beds, because obviously there was other boat tournaments. Like, for people who are listening, like, this boat or this lake is like one of the most pressured lakes I've ever been on. I think there's a boat tournament Thursday, Friday, and there was four boat tournaments on Saturday. I mean, I live close to big lakes like Cayuga and Oneida and like all these lakes, but I've never seen just a merry-go-round of like competitive angle or whatever, like tournaments being ran, and just like, I mean, like whatever, like whenever you went up to Cove and you thought you found something, it's like you said, I'd watch three or four other boats go in there within like the next hour and come back. You know what I mean? It was just all day, all along, those fish are just getting beat up. So it's just different. Like I don't know if it's just because like Connecticut doesn't have as many bodies of water, and that's it for like that part of the Northeast. Like, you know, Candlewood and Lenona, and those are like the two biggest lakes in that area, and that's where everyone goes to do their tournaments. But I mean, it's ridiculous the amount of pressure those poor fish get.
Yeah, and we get a lot of guys from New York too on that lake. Like, in that one tournament, I think the guy said it was 77 people, so I don't know how many boats that was, but obviously a lot. But that was a New Jersey club. Like, those guys don't live in Connecticut either. So we get out of staters too. It's just a good lake, and it produces good bags and big fish, and people love it. But it does. It just gets so pressured. And I mean, those big boats, you find a fish on a bed, they're taking it. Like, us kayak guys, we throw them back. Those guys are taking them to weigh it. So,
yeah, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, because, like, you know, it's something worth discussing. But, like, going back to, like, you know, the pre-fishing for me, like, so Friday I thought I had a plan. Like, you know, I knew, like, you know, Thursday I found fish on beds. I went and checked on Friday, gone. I found more fish on beds on Friday, but I left for a little bit and came back, and most of them were gone. You know what I mean? So it's like I had to come up with a plan. So, you know, I started fishing around, and maybe you know this too, but, like, those fish, even the largemouth, like, they spawn, like, wherever, like, they want, like, wherever they can spawn. Because I think a lot, like, you know, like, the fish I caught on Friday that I was kind of betting on Saturday, I caught them blind, because you know, like, how the water got really dark with all that pollen, and especially when the wind started coming in, or the boat turbulence started coming up. You know, you couldn't see really, like, you had, like, once it got, like, 5 to 10 feet deep, like, you had no real visibility. And I remember, like, you know, I was just fishing really slow. I was dragging like a heavy chatterbait. I was also like, I was just dragging stuff off the bottom, and I was catching fish, you know, at like, you know, 5 to 10 feet, just randomly. But when I would look at their bellies, I mean, oh, these fish are bedding pretty deep. That's kind of where like I was banking on. I was like, oh shit, I got fish on out, because I was trying to get away from like all the fish you could see, because the way I pitch saw it was like, if you could see a fish today, you're not gonna see it tomorrow. So don't bet on it. So I tried to find those fish that were like bedding. Like, to me, it's especially largemouth. I'm not used to seeing largemouth bed that deep, is where I was catching them at. Did you kind of see the same thing?
I did not catch a lot of largemouth. I caught like 3 largemouth all week, and I saw a pair of them up shallow, and I just didn't see them. And I know guys were like, oh, I saw like a 20 and 22, like giant largemouth paired up. I'm like, dude, I'm not seeing those at all. But I saw a lot of smallmouth on bed.
Yeah.
But maybe that's why, because those smallmouth seem to be a little shallower. But like you said, dude, when that water got dirty, like, it was tough. I saw a big one on Thursday And I checked on it Friday and I could still see it. But I went there Saturday and I couldn't even find the bed just because that water got like so dirty or dingy, I guess. Like, I don't know. That was weird. But they were up. I mean, they were there. It was just you couldn't see them. And that's, I mean, that was my game plan at pre-fishing. I found a couple on beds, and on my way back to the ramp on a Friday, I flipped into one and it started swimming away, and I just like let it go until it dropped it. I reeled it in and I just pedaled to the next one. I flipped in there and it did the same thing. And I was like, those are the first two I'm going to catch because I know it wasn't late. I mean, I got off the water at like 2 o'clock on Friday, but I was like, well, the tournament should be ending. And though, if I get there first thing, those fish should be there.
Okay.
Unless obviously they decide to leave, but they're not going to get caught. You know, like they could have, but I didn't think that they were going to. And that got me off to a great start because that's where I started on Saturday. But
yeah. Yeah. You know, when you watch the standings, it was weird. Like, because you know, I got crushed on Saturday. I had a horrible, horrible, horrible day. But you know, I guess what made it worse is that when you start seeing people put up like those 90 inches and those 95 inches, it's like, so well, goddamn, I should be able to at least catch a fish if it's that good. But it wasn't that it was that good. It was just that, like, if you found them, you found them. You know what I mean? Like, if you had a plan A and a plan B and it worked out really well, dude, you were catching, like, I mean, just gigantic smallmouth. Like, the smallmouth I saw people catching, I'm like, I thought New York was the only place up here that had a smallmouth like that. But, dude, Candlewood produced some really, really good smallmouth.
It did. That's what I was saying to Jack. I was like, dude, we got to go back here. Like, it's like an hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes for me. I think it's about the same for him. But so it's a far drive for a day. But, dude, that place is awesome. Like, I don't know why we don't go here. And I fished Swan's Pond before. I had a sleigh event down there earlier this year that I fished. And, like, that place is just never – for me, I do so poorly there. Like, I just can never figure that place out. And, I mean, the sleigh event, I signed up for that because it's so bad for me there. And I knew we were going to Candlewood. I know it's kind of similar. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to go down there. And I caught five. I ended up doing well in the tournament. But I went there just because I wasn't good at it.
Right.
That was the whole reason I went to that.
Did you know, like, going to Candlewood that you were probably going to – because like, that was, like, my plan. Like, when I saw – like, when I decided I was going to do this tournament, I saw, like, where it was, you know, scheduled. I'm like, they're probably going to be on beds. And so that was what I was planning on going into this. And so, like, you know, the first day I got there, I didn't even bother – really do anything. I went straight back to like those coves and then the back, and I was immediately just looking for fish on beds. Is that kind of how you went into it?
I went into it wanting to find something offshore.
Okay.
But I knew I wanted to fish Candlewood. I didn't go to Lily at all. I didn't go to Swan's Pond. Like I said, I've been to Swan's Pond. And I don't know. I can barely win like a local tournament there. I didn't think I had a chance to win like a bigger tournament there. Especially when Candlewood was open and they were should be potentially on beds. I was like, there's no way I can go to Swans and do well. But I really wanted to find something deeper because I knew guys wanted to be looking at them.
Right.
And like, if everybody's looking at them and if I can find some little something that fish are coming and going through, I'm going to do good, like good enough, you know, like
right.
When on the way down, I wanted the top 20. I'm like, if I can get a top 20, I'll be happy. Like, because I just came off 2-4 with the Potomac, so I was like, that for end of the year, like I'm okay, like with a, I had like a 50th from Florida or something, like a terrible finish that was like my best. And I was like, just give me a top 20, I'll be happy. But
I mean, you definitely got a top 20 on day one. Now, how was it like as far as the day progressed? Like, you found your first two pretty quick. Did it get harder? Because for me, like the day just got worse. It's like once my plan A and plan B went to shit, everything else went, there was no, like, to me that lake was like, and I can't speak for everyone, but if I was going to speak for everyone, it's like, you know, if your plan A and plan B, like go to shit or whatever, if your plans go to shit, good luck trying to like bounce back because it was just, everything just got worse and worse. Like, the water clarity got worse. The boats, the especially, you know, like I remember like 7 or 8 o'clock, you could just hear the boats coming, mm-hmm. you know, like it was their turn. It's just like that. That's it. Whatever you thought you had, they got it. Because I remember, you know, like when everything went really bad for me, like, all right, I'm gonna make a big move here. And I went to, you know, go where I marked beds. And like there was just one boater just going up my bank, just snagging them out. I watched them pull up like 20 something pounds, like within like 20, 30 minutes. I was trying to fish behind him. But the only fish he left behind were the ones that wanted nothing to do with him, whether it's because they were just getting up on beds and they weren't tied to him yet, or because, someone else has already ripped their faces off sometime in the previous days. But it's just one of those lakes. I feel like you'll lose it. Like, I mean, like, it's just one of those things. Like you really got to know, like, to me, it's just a very, like, what would you say? Like, you gotta be pretty experienced, I think, to really have any success on there, at least this time of the year, when the fishing's so tough and it's so pressured, there's so many people out there, and the conditions just change just like that. Cause I remember the morning was nice and still, and then a few hours later, just could not see had no visibility. The water's moving pretty fast. The wind's blowing. I mean, it was just, it became chaotic for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that first on Saturday morning, it was cloudy. Yeah. So if you planned on getting up early, that sun was going to come up and you're going to be able to see the fish that you wanted to catch and go get them.
No,
that it was cloudy, dude. Forget it. Like you're not doing that. But no, for me, I started on that one fish and it took me like 3 minutes to catch it. Like it was the one that swam off of the day before. I'm like, I just hope it's here. And my that 22.5 was like basically, if you left the boat ramp and went straight across, it was right there on a bed. So I hope nobody had stayed there, but I didn't want to just pull over there and stop because then I didn't think I could make it to the next one. Right. So I went around the point, started on my first one, and then caught that and looped all the way back to the boat ramp because I knew that fish was there, or I was hoping it was still there, but I didn't check on it because there was, you know, 20 kayaks leaving out of there at the same time. So, I just hoped that it was there, and it was. And it took me a little while to get that one, but that one finally went. And then it was like, okay, those are the two I knew. So now what? So I went to a couple of places, like you were saying, that I had marked fish earlier. Because, I mean, I had those two in the first half hour, maybe. Like, and I had 40 inches and two fish, so I was pretty – I mean, I was pretty jacked up about that. I'm like, okay, well, at least we're on the right ones. So I went to a point that I knew there was a couple on, and there was a bigger one out a little further that I couldn't see, and then I could see one that I ended up catching. It was 18, and then the rest of them I couldn't see. Like, but once I did that, I went to I like ran around that point of the way. I just kept bouncing to spot, and just pedaling. But I ran to where I saw the two largemouth on beds, and I was like, let me try that. And it was a shade bank all day. Like, even if they were up, you wouldn't be able to see them because it was a shade bank.
Right.
And the largemouth I saw on Thursday when it went later in the day. So the sun had come up and you could see it over there a little bit and you could see them. But I couldn't see them. And I fished that bank. And the whole day there was two boats on it because those dudes, everybody wants to be seeing them. So I guess that was my, like, thing I did different than everybody else is go fish where I couldn't see them and just slow down.
Yeah, I wonder, like, because that's kind of what I did, like, day two, because I had a lot better day two. It was like a hit or miss. Like, day one, I completely skunked. Day two, I'm in the top 20. You know what I mean? But, like, that's what I did. Instead of looking for beds, I'm like, find a place where they would be and then just start slowly, dragging or whatever. If there's something there that's worth catching, it's going to hit it or whatever. So, I mean, it took me all day, but I got a good limit. Or a decent limit, but that's kind of like I thought, you know, kind of helped me out was like leave those ones alone, quit competing with all these other people, and try to find ones that people can't see. And it worked out well for me when I actually tried it that way.
That was exactly what I did, and that's where I started on Sunday. And I caught two. I caught a 19 to 17 like the first half hour on Sunday, and I was like, maybe they're still here, but I couldn't see it. Like I knew I wasn't going to be able to see them, and those docks. I mean, I'm sure you saw like the ones that were like bigger and they like, you couldn't cast under them. You couldn't get underneath them.
Right. Right.
Every corner was chained down by a block. So if you got anywhere near that block and dragged it off, it seemed like there was something there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you're catching rock bass, you're catching little stuff here and there, but eventually you're going to go hit one of those and there's going to be a smallie spawning right on the end of that block.
You know, that's funny you say that. Cause a friend of mine, you know, after day one, when like, you know, I'm just completely crushed and I lost all my confidence. I'm like, screw this shit. I'm going home. It's Saturday. I'll be home by Saturday night. I'll wake up Sunday and go barbecue with the family and just forget about this whole Candlewood experience. But anyways, somehow I got talked out of it. But like, I was talking to him. He's like, dude, I'm coming back here. Like, they're at the end of the docks. Like, they're staging, they're betting right there at the end of the docks. And you can barely see them or not see them at all. But he was able to find them fishing the same we have. But, like, he said it was consistent. You could consistently find a fish at the end of the docks. Now, I don't think it worked well for him the next day, but it was something that, you know, as I was going through the day, especially, you know, like day two, I was like, that's when I kind of realized that that was probably the money spot, you know what I mean, was like finding areas like that to really – because, like, that's the only way I could think of. Like, would a lake that pressured, if you want to be successful, you have to do something different than what everyone else is doing. Because, you know, like when I was looking for, like, you know, a good place to be bet, you know – when I was doing my map study and I was looking for places where, you know, fish would like the bed, who the hell's not looking for a place on a map where fish would like the bed? You know what I mean? Like, we're all looking for the same shit. We're all looking for, like, those A spots that, you know, fish like to be, they like the stage or whatever. And a place like that, like, dude, you're fighting. Like, to me, like, the biggest fault or problem with that lake was that we're all fighting for territory. It's like a war out there trying to get to a spot first, get what you can, and then get to another spot, hope no one was there. Like, I figured, like, you know,
yeah,
someone like, you know, probably what you experienced, why you did so well was, like, you went to places that people weren't bothering with, you know what I mean? Because, like I said, everyone's trying to, because I feel like, especially kayak anglers, like, most of us have been doing it long enough to know what a good spot on the map looks like, or what a good spot when you get there, like, what those spots, you know, like, the spots you would fish if it wasn't a tournament. But you would come tournament day, you really got to do something different, and you got to do it right. Obviously, you can't just go out there just junk fish, or you can't junk fish, but you know what I mean? There's got to be some sense to what you're doing, but still, it's like being different, and whether it's, you know, picking the weird spots, you know, fishing different lures, whatever you're doing. But, like, I mean, you got to get away from the crowd and get away from, like, what they're doing, because everyone else is just competing against those same spots, those same A water spots, and, like, in a place like that, you're gonna lose your fish. You're gonna get beat by someone else. I don't have a motor. You don't have a motor. So someone in their goddamn motor guy gets their first. I mean, whatever. There's a million things that could happen. But you know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like finding those little, you know, like those little, like, diamonds or whatever, you know, are like key to a tournament like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what I found. Like, where we were, there's, like, basically, like, the boat ramp little finger there. There's that middle finger, and then there's the longer one at the end. And the middle one, that shade bank didn't have docks on it until you got way down. Like, you had to go, like, 3/4 of the way to the end of that little cut there to find docks on that shade bank. Where if you went all the way across the lake, that whole side was docks.
Yeah.
And that's where I ended up being. And, dude, I saw maybe one kayaker over there for, like, 20 minutes and two bass boats all day. Like, and I did catch a lot of fish over there. I caught, like, 14s, 16s, but at that point I'm calling it 18 and a half, and I just never got that, you know, that last big bite. And then at the end of the day, I ran over to one more bedfish that I saw, and I broke it off, and I thought I was going to need it. And it was probably 19. I thought I was going to take 100 inches to win that tournament. And
yeah.
I went over there and I saw that one, got it to bite, and then I break it off, and that kind of turned into a little mess, but
it happens.
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't think it was going to be 100. I thought it was going to be like, I kind of, like, the way I predicted it was kind of like how it turned out. I thought, like, a few people were going to be in the 90s. And then I thought 10, 15 people were going to do really good. And then the rest of everyone else would struggle. Cause I just thought the lake was that tough. I'm telling, like, people, like, you, like, I felt like that lake, you had to be really experienced. Like, you couldn't, like, you know, like, I had, like, day one, I was being so stubborn. If I would have made just a few adjustments and quit being so stubborn and fish and wanting to fish the way that I want to fish, I probably would have had it. Because that's what I did day two. I did something I don't like to do. I threw a Ned rig for 8 hours and caught fish. You know, day one, I'm like switching. You know, I throw a Ned rig, get bored, throw a chatter, whatever. I was trying to fish the way I wanted to fish, and, you know, and fish areas that I like, kind of areas that I like to fish. And it didn't work out for me at all. Like, it was one of those lakes that I just think you got to be experienced, you got to be well rounded, and you got to be able to make smart decisions, like, right on the bat, and, like, and let go of water. That was my biggest thing, was letting go of water. You know, like, that first place, like, you know, that, you know, my plan A, I love that spot because, you know, I caught 88 inches on Friday. So, like, I love this spot. It has just the perfect amount of grass. The grass is coming in, like, perfect height. You know, it was like, you know, like 10 feet. I could, like, drag a, you know, one of those large chatterbaits, you know, jackhammer, whatever. It was exactly what I wanted. And, like, and so I held onto that water like it was mine for too long. And then when I freaked out and I left and I came back, I did the same exact thing on that same body of water, you know, expecting different results. And it just, like, just complete chaos. You know, I thought it was just one of those lakes that you really got to like know your shit and know like, you know, like when you make a decision, why you're making that decision. Like you can't just go out there and just like joy fish on a tournament day on that lake. It was just too tough.
No, I agree. And that's Sunday. I did that and I was like, all right, I'm going to start on that shade bank and I'm just going to keep going and go all the way up. And kind of went into like a little pocket up there. And I fished that whole side. I got up there and there was like three boats, a couple of kayakers. I'm like, okay. So I turned around, I went back down. I didn't get bit. And then I was like, I could go back up, but like, I already did that. And then they just kind of got spun out on day two. And I was like, I don't even know. Like the fish that I had on beds, those two good ones are gone. I've already caught a couple over here. Like, never mind the ones I caught yesterday.
Yeah.
Like I just kind of like lost all confidence in it. And then I went looking for more bed fish that were gone, and everything I did, it was like strike one, strike two, strike three.
It was just that bad. Like, I mean, like it just, cause even like at the end, like, you know, I was feeling sorry for myself. I had one, like the can of wood completely defeated me. And like Sunday, even, you know, I didn't want to stay, but I decided to stay anyways. Just cause, you know, like, I left a bad taste in my mouth. Like I didn't want to leave on that note, you know, so I wasn't really like planning on winning or I wasn't even competing on Sunday. I was mainly just going out to redeem myself so I can go home with a little bit. So I'm not going home just like pissed off. I wanted to go there and like, at least, you know, I know I can fish, but I wanted to like prove to myself that I still knew how to fish and that I wasn't wasting my time doing these tournaments. But it was still like that night when I was trying to decide what to do, I was like, dude, I have no confidence. I don't know what to do with that lake. It's like once you lose it, you've lost it. I mean, it's just a crazy place. And, you know, like it's just, but you know, like it was one of the things that I learned Sunday was like, you do a lot better when you just fish, Josh. When you don't think too much about it, when you're just like, okay, you have no plan, but you know how to fish. You know what looks good. You know how to drag a jig and all these different things. That's kind of like the only thing that made me successful on Sunday was my ability to just not give a shit anymore and just stay in a spot and fish until I caught fish. It worked out better to me than like trying to, you know, just trying to plan and like, I don't know, like just, I don't know. Like, I just feel like, you know, like if the plan doesn't work there, like you're in a world of shit if that's what you're relying on. But if you just go back to, I guess, like basic stuff, you might do better than like, cause like, dude, like you'll run across that like a million times. Trying to figure out what to do if you're not careful. I mean, I don't know how many miles I did on Saturday, but like when I got off that lake, I was tired. I was broken. I've never felt like that before. Just mentally, physically, just exhausted. Like I wanted nothing. I didn't want to fish anymore. Like, I was just done. I was like, I'm going home. I'm done with this tournament shit. There's way better stuff I can spend my money on than this, but, I got it together that night.
That was me Saturday night too, dude. I was dead. Like my leg, like I can pedal that boat. Like I feel like all day and I'm fine, dude. I pedaled that on set, but I was like trying to beat people to the spot. I'm like, there's a boat. And I'm like pedaling as hard as I can to get there. And then I get there and I'm like, dying. My glasses are fogging up because I'm so hot. I'm like, oh my God, this is terrible. And then I got off the water and I was just like drained.
Yeah.
Like, oh man. And then you go back and you got to rig up and do all that. And
yeah.
Like, oh, and then you finally go to sleep, and then your alarm goes off, and it's like, we're doing that again?
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Like, the first night, Friday night, I went to bed at, like, 11. I was hanging out with guys, and I was having a few beers. But Saturday, dude, like, Saturday night, I was so exhausted. I feel like I was, like, it was 10 o'clock at night. I just blinked, and then, like, 6 hours went by, and it was time to get up. But I was like, Jesus, I got to do this again, all over again. I mean, dude, the tournament, dude, it can be – it's tough. Like, it's not a, you know, when you look at like what we did, like, you know, I got there Thursday. I left from work at 6 o'clock Thursday morning. I got there around like 10, started pre-fished all day. Woke up, you know, I was on the water by 5 a.m. on Friday, fished all day there. Actually, you know, I got off the water around like 2 because I thought I had a plan. you know, just, you know, but like, dude, Saturday and Sunday, I just, you're like you, dude, my kayak just cruising. I can maintain like 4 miles an hour easy. But you know, I was pedaling that thing like 5-6 miles an hour. You know, like 100 yard sprints to get to these spots because like, that, you know, day one it was all about beating everyone else to your spot, hoping that your fish were on beds. But dude, like I was cramping. Just beat up by the sun. It got hot that day. It was one of those events that really tested. I don't think I've ever been tested like that. As far as like the element, and it wasn't like I was going through like hurricane conditions or anything like that. It was just like just accumulation of the pressure, the hard fishing, the heat, the move, the big movements, the failure, all these things. It just left me like just when I got home, I got assed out on the couch. My wife, you know, I gave my wife a kiss, tried to drink a beer, woke up the next day, there's like beer somehow spilt or whatever. It was a mess.
it kills you. I don't know. Those guys in the motors have it a little easier, obviously, but when you're out there pedaling and doing that for – I did it Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then, like, dude, I caught those first two on Saturday, and I was just jacked up. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to pedal around this whole lake, and I'm going to catch every fish on a bed in this whole lake. Like, yeah, I was just, like, pedaling, and I wasn't even, like – like, I would go to where a bed was, and then I wouldn't look anymore. Like, I would be like, oh, not there. Okay, next spot, and pedal another 20 minutes. And then, oh, nope, not there. Keep going, like – and I just burned myself out, and I don't know. But and I knew I was – like, if that was a two-day tournament, I would have fished it completely different. Like,
yeah,
going up and down that shade bank, I would have caught my limit and been like, okay, let's leave some of those for tomorrow and let me go – I'll go looking again or whatever. But yeah. And I knew that I burned up that bank pretty good. I ran up and down it probably three or four times on Saturday once I started catching them, and it was like 17 to 20s. And then a couple little ones, and then another good one. A couple little, like, but I was like, I'm just gonna keep doing this because I'm close enough where I have a shot at this. Like, so I just didn't want to let up. And I was like, tomorrow we'll worry about that tomorrow. But right now, let's just get them.
Right. So a few more things, and we'll wrap this thing up. But so I completely you know, whatever. Like, you know, I can't say enough how much like bad like Candlewood broke me off. But so Sunday I fished Squats Pond. You know, I went there with just the intentions of redeeming myself, just regain some of my confidence back before I went home. Did pretty well. I kind of knew there wasn't like a winning bag in that lake. I don't compared to like what people could pull out of Candlewood. But you know, I had some success. So I don't know how different everything was on Sunday on Candlewood. But what was the biggest changes that you saw? You know, come Sunday compared to Saturday?
I would just say bedfish being gone. But it seems like people were finding them, like they moved off the bed a little bit, but they were still around. Like that's what it kind of seemed like. People were still getting them, like in the area, they just weren't on the beds. But I don't know. And honestly, like I was dead. I was dead on Sunday. I was so beat. I was tired. Like, at noon, I like looked at the clock and I'm like, this is the longest tournament I've ever fished in my life. Like, there's no way I fish this every time.
Yeah.
But it just seemed like I had been out there for 8 hours already and it was noon. I'm like,
well, that's my opinion. Ooh. Like, I don't know if I, and this isn't talking shit about Hoover and Chad. They all did a great job. The event was awesome. But I don't know how I feel about like 2 day tournaments like that. Because, I mean, like, you know, this is the first year I've done it like this. Because, you know, the previous year they would just have a tournament on Saturday, or maybe not the previous year, whatever. At one point before COVID happened, we used to have a tournament on Saturday, and then you went home. I like that. I don't like this. I mean, I know it can help some people with points and everything, and that's great. So I'm not saying it needs to change. But me personally, I don't like staying an extra day. I mean, it's so exhausting. Just trying to drive home. Because, you know, everyone works on Monday, but trying to drive home that Sunday, like, it was tough for me getting home. Like, I wanted to pull over, and it's only a 4-hour drive. I wanted to pull over and take a nap. I was just beat up, exhausted. I mean, I don't like it. And I don't like the pressure either, of doing 2 days. Like, I don't know how much, like, I'm doing my first Hobie event at Lake Champlain. I don't know how that's going to go for me because that's just a different beast when you add another day. Now, granted, theirs is one tournament. This was two tournaments, but still, it's just, dude, just 2 days of hard fishing after 2 days of good pre-fishing. It's just, dude, like I want to go home. Like, I don't know. It's tough, man. And people who can roll like that, that's awesome. But to me, I don't mind just Saturday and just that's it. Go home. Let the results be what the results were.
Yeah, dude, it takes a lot out of you, and I think there's a way to do it, I'm sure, where you don't get beat. Like, I've done a bunch of these tournaments, and I go to Sunday, and I'm more confident than I was on Saturday because sometimes I'll use Saturday like another pre-fishing day if I really don't have anything figured out, and I'll just go out there and be like, you know, whatever happens on Saturday happens, and then I'll figure it out for Sunday. And then I show up to Sunday, I'm ready to go. But this week, like, just being that close and thinking I had something and just going like 100 miles an hour all the time, like, and I don't pre-fish like that either. Like, I pre-fish like pretty slow. Like, I just like take my time. I don't fish everything. I don't pick everything apart. Like, I just go slow. I'm not like going crazy, and I'll fish like one end of the lake one day, and I'll go mess around over there for another day and just try to get like more of like, more like sightseeing than actual like really hard fishing and like, oh, let's like go get them. But then tournament day, it's like a whole different way of looking at things and picking something apart and doing all that. So I think, I don't know. I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure there's a way to do it a little bit better than, I mean, some of these dudes show up with the boat ramp, they look like they're just got up and it's, they rested all day yesterday and they're ready to go. And I'm like,
yeah, dude.
I'm gonna put my boat in again. Like, all right, let's go,
dude. It's the whole thing. It's like the waking up early, unloading all that shit, then bringing it back. And dude, like the worst thing on Sunday was like loading your stuff up, dude. I was so exhausted. Like, I just like, and then you're battling all the boaters, and then people are trying to come in, people are trying to go out, and like my slow broke ass is just out there dragging, trying to get out of the way so everyone else can go have fun. It's just, it's, I mean, it's part of the life, but you know. I can bitch about it if I want, because I do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. No, I love it. It doesn't matter. As hard as it is, as tired as you get, it's. We do that here. Like, Tibbins does his tournaments on a Sunday, and our team ones are typically Saturdays, or we're fishing something else on Saturday. So doing back-to-back tournaments is like a regular thing. The way that we have like our schedules set up, but it doesn't typically bother me, and I fish a lot. Like, I try to be in that boat. Like, I'll go work all day, jump in the boat, and go fish till dark. And then, whenever I have time, I try to get in that thing. I don't typically get beat up like that. that lake, or whatever it was, man, that just, I don't know. And, like, we stayed close. Our buddy that we travel with, he lives at the Latin's boat ramp. He's, like, maybe 30 seconds away.
Oh, wow.
So we stayed with him. Like, it wasn't like we had, like, a far drive in the morning or a far drive at night. Like, it was all right there. Like, we were close, and it was just, I don't know. I don't know what the problem was, but and I knew Saturday that I was just going so fast and just draining myself. But
So two more things I promise we'll wrap this thing up. But Saturday,
no, you're good.
I guess they don't turn the standings off in KBF anymore, right?
No, they leave it on.
So you knew you won. Like, how'd you feel? Like, I mean, like, that's, I mean, like, because if you think you won, I think that sucks, because you don't know what happened. Like, they turn it off. Mm-hmm. They turn it off that last hour. Like, shit, did someone get a kicker? You know, and you start thinking about, well, I didn't get a kicker, whatever. Like, it's happened to me, like, where it's like, you know, like when we did Cayuga, you know, like, it's like I was like sitting at second, and like, I didn't know. I mean, they turned that thing off. I was like, well, shit, you know, I don't know what's going on. I'm nervous now because I'm finally in the money. And, you know, I couldn't get a kicker fish that last hour. So I'm like, dude, someone has had to get a kicker fish. And they did. But that feeling of not knowing, like, what I need to do to win this thing. Not that it's going to help me knowing. I still got to go out there and catch the fish. But still, when you're, like, in the lead like that, it gets gut-wrenching sometimes. Like, it's almost like I like catching up the people more than I like trying to, like, maintain, you know, a lead or something like that.
Yeah, dude, that – for me, I mean, I'm always the guy chasing. I'm not when we were in Virginia, dude. Like, I'm in fourth and I'm trying to get that kicker fish. I want to be that guy that jumps ahead of you at the last minute. But for this one, no, I had my limit. Like, I had that by like noon, and I'm like, every time I would go to jump a spot, I'm like looking at my phone and I'm like, oh, they got one, but they didn't pass me, and I'm like, okay. But yeah, it's probably, I don't know. It feels like it's like worse. It's just like, oh, I don't know, like. Somebody's gonna get it, and now I'm fishing stupid, trying to fish everything so fast and catch every fish in the lake. And
well, see, like when I was at Cayuga, you know, like I was doing horrible at the first hour, and then just like that, you know, I caught a big fish. I'm like, oh, what's going on here? And I moved like 100 feet, caught another one. Like, oh shit, I think I'm on a pattern. And then like within like 20 minutes, I was like the first person to have a limit. I was the first person to be over 90 inches. I'm like, holy shit. And that was like, it was really weird. I went, because all day I usually don't care. I'm just out there just trying to get a limit, trying to get, you know, trying to improve that limit. But when you get like 90 inches, it's like, what the hell do I do now? It's like, you know, it's like, do I keep doing the same thing and hope this lasts and then I can get some kicker fish? Cause like, how do you get, cause I'm used to like 80, something inches. You know, when you start getting like 90 inches, some of those fish are hard to cull now. Some of those fish are hard to replace. And so I'm sitting there thinking, like how do I maintain this? And I got, it was really weird what happened. I got like super like anxious, and like I wanted the fishing tournament to end. Like it couldn't end fast enough. Like, cause like at this point it's like, it's all about maintaining a lead and everyone's trying to catch you now. And everyone else is like, it's like, do I change things up? Cause this has been working for me. It's just all these different things in your head. Like, I think not that I did bad, cause like, you ended up placing fourth, but it still was like just trying to like figure out what to do now is like a hard thing. Like, cause you're not just fishing anymore. Like you're like everyone's after you. You're trying to make the best decision to maintain this. And so you start doing goofy stuff. I mean, like, do I leave? Do I stay? Do I leave? Do I stay? It was just like, it was like nerve wracking. It's like, you know, like I said, I had like a 90 inches in like 2 hours. And so I had like 6 hours of like, just shedding razor blades, just like, just so anxious and like nervous and like, you know, like cherry picking everything I did, because I just didn't know what to do with that kind of a day. I never had a day like that. I never had a day where it's like, I'm the man. Like everyone is going to be looking at me through the whole day. Like, cause I mean, like at 97 inches, like you're not going to drop that far down in the rankings and stuff. You know what I mean? So everyone's chasing you the whole day. And it's just a weird feeling. Yeah. And you're expecting someone like you see, oh, now I'm in second. What, you know, it's just hard to like, to me, that was like the hardest to maintain focus was like when you're in the lead like that.
Yeah, well, yeah, I agree, because I mean, now you're that guy. Yeah, everyone's trying to catch you, and you're trying to. You already, like you said, you already have a decent limit, and now you're trying, like, especially if you're in like that, all your fish are 19 and a half.
Yeah,
like, if you're in that range, it's like, well, I don't have a kicker, but all my fish are good.
Yeah,
like now somebody's gonna get a kicker, and they might have like an 18 and change, but they're still gonna beat me because I don't have a kicker. I just have like all these same fish. Like,
yeah. Well, so I got up to like 90. I think I finished like 92 3/4. And you know, like my smallest fish was like a 17 and a half. That's a good size fish. And in order for me to replace that fish, I have to get above a 17 and a half. You know how many people are trying just to catch a 17 inch fish? And here I am. That's my smallest fish. How do I make this happen? You know what I mean? How do I make this lake start giving me 20 inches? And that's, you know, that's where you lose it, because you had that one asshole who just made the perfect cast, the perfect spot, caught a 20 inch in the last hour, and it crushed your first place finish. You know what I mean? And what can you do to fix that? I can catch another fish, and I did, but he was a 16 and a half. I caught a second fish in that last hour, and he was a 17 inch fish. All good tournament fish, you know, they're good tournament sized fish. But they do nothing for you, and this guy catches a 20-inch, 19-inch fish, and then there's no way to fix that. You know what I mean? Like, what do you do? Like, what technique, what spot do you find that you know you can do that? Like, replace a 17.5-inch fish. I mean, at some point it becomes like a luck thing, a gamble thing. You know what I mean? That's what sucks. That's what's tough about this sport, is that there's just so much like outside of your control. You can't control what the other anglers are doing, and you can't control, even if you're on a money spot. And I was on a great flat. They were pre-spawning, and they were fat and hungry, but it doesn't matter. Like if I can't get that 20 inch fish, I can't get them. I just can't get them.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, at going like toward the end of the day, I was like, there's no way I'm winning. Like, there's no way.
Yeah.
There's no possible way I'm winning this. Like, it's going to, well, that too, like you start, like you go, I went into it like, oh, top 20, I'll be happy. But then that last hour, I'm like, if I lose, I'm going to be pissed. But it, like your whole mindset is like getting messed. Like, either way, I'm going to be happy. Like, if I get fifth, if two people pass me, one person, whatever happens, like, I'm going to be happy because I was coming in like top 20 would be cool. Like, that's really where I'm at. But then it's like you lead the whole day and you're like, okay, I'm right there. Like, and then, yeah, that was my thought, because people, we're done at 2, but you can submit fish till 3.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm loading up at the boat ramp, and I'm just checking my phone. I'm like, there's no, like, I'm not going to be at the top of this list next time I scroll down and, like, resets. Like, there's no way.
Yeah.
When you keep scrolling down, it's like, okay, maybe. Maybe nobody really did get that kicker fish, you know? Like,
yeah.
But it's not that guys didn't get them. I mean, I had, like, 97 and a half inches. Like, there was a lot of big fish caught. Like, but I was under the impression I was going to take 100, and I think it would have if those fish didn't get scooped up by bass boats, or
yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of factors play into that. That water getting dirty, and I don't know, but
yeah. Well, last question, wrap this up. But you know, a lot of fish were scooped up off beds. I know at one point I saw like two 18-9-inch fish, or my buddy saw two or 18-19 fish that were close to the launch down south where the boaters were doing their stuff, dead. And so, it's a catch 22. Like, I want people to fish and have a good time, but sometimes I feel like you might want to leave them alone. You know, like I'm not saying you shouldn't catch fish on beds, but it's not the catching the fish on beds, I think, is like what does most of the damage. I think it's the moving them in a live well across the lake to a weigh-in and then releasing them. And I don't know. I just don't know how that lake does so well with that kind of treatment. And I'm not trying to play this all like holier than now thing, because I definitely was trying to pull fish off beds. But I wonder if like maybe you shouldn't have, maybe you should only have a catch and release during like a spawn or something like that. Just because, I mean, like, you want those fish to reproduce, you want those fish to survive, you want record size fish. But I don't know. I just don't see how that's possible if you keep dragging them off the beds and taking them to and killing them in the live well. And I'm specifically talking about like spawning fish. I'm not talking, whatever. I don't want. But I mean, I know. I just felt like that can't be good for them. Like when you have like just probably thousands of fish over those 2 days that were just like pulled from their beds and taken to get weighed in.
Yeah. Well, and those, I mean, the smallmouth I was catching were pretty skinny. Like they didn't just get there. Like they were definitely on the back end of the spawn. Like, so those fish are already depleted. Like, I'm sure it doesn't take a lot to set them past like, okay, like now we're all the way done. Especially if, three kayakers go through, hook them, fight them, and then a boater hooks it and then throws it in a live well, like that fish has been like mauled, destroyed throughout the day, even if it's over a 2 day period. Like, but I don't know. It sucks because, like you said, but I guess there's got to be more fish that are spawning deeper than people can see and they never get caught. And probably those are the ones that keep spawning, and that's why there ends up being a lot of big fish. But who knows? In a couple of years, it could be all 14, 15s, and then it has to recycle that process or whatever. But
Well, I mean, I just don't know. Like, cause I don't think even my lakes up here are as bad as that lake. Like, when you look, when I looked up, bass fishing tournaments in Connecticut, and I saw how many tournaments they have, I'm just like, dude, how are you guys pulling this off? Like, I mean, this can't be healthy.
Yeah, there's like weeknighters there. There's full day tournaments. There's 2 day tournaments, 3 day tournaments. Like, but that's like our only big lake. I mean, that's like our best, biggest lake. Everything else is like ponds compared to like what KVF would fish or whatever. Yeah. I mean, unless you go to the Connecticut River, but that's all we got. Like, as far as like bigger water. So if you're a big boat guy in Connecticut, like, who's the elite guy from Connecticut? Paul Mueller. Mm-hmm. I think he's a guide out there. Like, I think he does that. Like, there's just so many people out there all the time. And like, if you want to do a fishing guide trip in Connecticut, you go to Candlewood. And if you want to do a big boat tournament that means anything, you go to Candlewood. Like,
right.
It's just everything else is just like little pond stuff. So I don't know, but that's every lake that we go to with KBF. It's just all high pressure stuff. And I mean, we go to Florida in January, and that's where like 90% of the pro guys are, because everything is frozen. And those dudes all run down there. And then we go to Murray right before an MLF event, and Gunnersville last year right behind the elites. Like, it just seems like everywhere we are is high pressure. So you just got to figure that out and, do something, try to do something different. And
I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man.
That's my mindset used to be like going into that, like these tournaments, just go out and catch a limit. Like, just go get five, and if they're 12s, whatever, at least you have a limit. Now you can start calling. But
can't do that. That was like the difference between the way I approached this season compared to last. Was last year was like, I'll just get a limit, go out there and catch fish. Now it's like that doesn't work. I mean, like, if you're not here, it's like to try to cash a check, then you're just giving away money. And so now it's like I'm going big or like going home type attitude a lot of times.
I feel like
I don't fish beds that often, but in a tournament, if there's fish on beds, you goddamn right, I'm fishing. I'm getting those fish off those beds. Yeah. That's what I'm banking on. I'm not gonna go out there and try to find some skinny ass post spawn fish. I'm gonna try to find these big ass fish on beds, and I'm gonna either die on those beds or I'm gonna win. I mean, to me, like, and like the same thing. It's like, why would you go throw frogs and punch in the big grass. That's where big fish are. And like, I'm going to catch those guys and try to win this tournament instead of trying to catch, you know, a bunch of 14 inches off of a wacky rig, you know, in some safe area where I know I can put up a limit. Mm-hmm.
Dude, that was me in Florida. I'm throwing a wacky rig around. And I don't know. Do you know Mike Marcone?
Yeah, that's my boy.
Yeah. So I'm talking to him, and he's like, dude, he's like, if I get five bites where I'm at, I'm going to win.
Yeah.
I'm like, but he's so much more confident than me. I'm like, well, I'm just looking for five, like, bite, like, anything. But I'm like, why do I fish like that? Like, I need to go out and just switch. Like, if he gets three bites, whatever, dude. He tried. Yeah. Like, you did what you could. And that changed my whole mentality about it. Like, I'm like, let me just go get five big ones and – if it don't work.
Well, why be there? You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to fish a local tournament because you're just trying to get better and you're trying to get your feet wet in the sport, that's fine. You're learning. Yeah. But if you're going to spend the $1,000 to leave your family to go fish a big lake, a big payout, it's like, why are you even there if you're not going to try to win? Like, who gives a shit if you come in last place? You know, because like, you're either in the money or you're not in the money. Like, I mean, like, granted, I know points matter to some people, but to me, it's like, no, dude, I'm here to cash a check. I'm here to make sure my wife knows that I'm not out here just blowing money. I'm over here trying to pay money to win money. And it's just like, to me, it was like, if you're going to fish a national event, be able to go fish and go big and try to win. If not, don't go fish a national event. You're not getting anything out of it. Stay your punk ass at home, fish your local stuff, maybe venture out every now and then. But if you're going to fish big tournaments, you better make big moves and try to cash big checks.
Yeah, you gotta go big. And I mean, that's in local tournaments with, you know, 10, 15 guys, you do all right. You get a limit. You're like, all right, you know, I'm doing all right. You know, you'll probably be up close to the money, but dude, when I'm doing KBF events, that's what I did like all last year. And I did decent in points and all that. But like every tournament, it was like between 30th and 50th. Like it was just never good, but it was never terrible. But I caught fish and I was like right in the middle, like, I'm like, I just can't get out of that realm. And then down at Lake Murray in South Carolina, it was like, I just couldn't get bit. And I started like doing the same thing, like put on something small and just try to get a couple bites. Like, this is just stupid. Like, and then I get murdered by everybody. And I'm like, all right, so, I mean, go and try, like, just try to swing for the fences. And if you zero, I mean, it is what it is. And,
yeah, but I mean,
but like, if you get them, you're going to get them. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, no one cares if you came in last place or, you know, 30th place. You know what I mean? Like, it's the same. To me, it's just the same. I mean, because like, honestly, like, can you really win Angler of the Year just putting limits together? I don't think so. I've never seen someone win Angler of the Year just putting, like, they're always in the top 10. They're always in the top 20. And they're always, like, it's just people like, you know, Derek Brunner. Derek Brunner's trying to win tournaments. That's why his name's always up there. You know what I mean? Like he's the top 10 guy, the top 20 guy, at least the top 20 guy, if not in the money. You know what I mean? I think it's just the way it is. Like, if you're not gonna do that, then dude, why give Russ Snyder your money? Like, why show up and give him, you know, $115 so he can go fish the next tournament? I mean, big changes that, you know, I made this year, and, you know, definitely a big, you know, change in my mindset as far as like how I approach tournament fishing.
Yeah, me too, and that's what Marcone told me. He's like, dude, I wouldn't even, like, why are you bothering? Like, just go to get that. Like, he's like, he's out flipping mats and stuff, and I'm throwing a little wacky worm around lily pads, hoping that maybe I'll get like one big one. And like, even if I do, who cares? You're still in 70th. Like,
right.
You didn't do anything, you know, like, but yeah, I think, I don't know. It just changed my whole, like, the whole way I fish every tournament now. I'm like, let me just throw. Like, I, you won't find me with, like, a Ned rig on. You won't, like, unless it really comes to that, like, where, like,
yeah,
like a smallie fishery and they're just killing, like, big fish are killing a Ned rig, sure, I have no problem with it. But, like, just throwing a Ned rig to catch 15s, like, I just can't bring myself to do it. I'd rather throw a jig and zero.
If I'm throwing a Ned rig or something like that, that means I'm just doing that bad. It just means that, like, I just cannot make shit work. And you know what it usually means, too? That I'm panicking. It means that I'm panicking because whatever I was going for is not working, and this is all I got left now. So, but yeah, that's the game, man.
Yeah, it's part of it, and yeah, you're not always gonna be on them. I mean, that's part of it too. You can be on them pretty good this week, and then be way off them next week, and be confused and feel like you don't know how to get your bass in any lake that you go to. But I mean, just try to stay on them and fish as much. That's it. I just try to fish as much as I can, and just stay on them. And,
Yeah.
Hope that they're there on tournament day because they're typically not.
All right, Ryan. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show, man. Is there anyone you want to thank that's making fishing easier for you?
I mean, I got a few sponsors. I'm with Northbound Gear. I don't know if you've heard of them. They make like cold weather stuff. Those guys help me out. They give me, you know, some clothing and stuff like that. But I'm with Wu Tungsten and X Zone Lures. And that's it for sponsors. I don't really chase sponsors too much. I did that for a little while, but figured just concentrate on fishing and sponsors will be sponsors whenever that time comes. But
right.
No, really just my family, my girlfriend. I got a lot of friends that support me, and I know, like, especially this event. Yeah, I had guys text me at, like, 10 o'clock. They're like, I'm pulling for you. You got this. Like, dude, I only got 2 fish in the bag. But all those people, man, like, that, I appreciate that stuff and more than anything, really.
Well, cool, man. Appreciate coming on. It was actually nice meeting you. We spent a lot of time at the ramp together. We moved each other's boats before we realized that we kind of knew each other. But I'm looking forward to the next one. Are you possibly doing Lake Champlain?
I want to, yeah. I'm gonna try to. I gotta try to figure out somewhere to stay and figure out what I'm doing up there. But yeah, I'm gonna try to make that trip. That's in like a month from tomorrow. So
yeah. So all right, man. Well, I hope to see you again soon this season. We got a few more events. We got the whole summer left actually. So I don't know. Absolutely. Keep in touch, and I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, brother.
Later.